Get you some of that good perfume and give it to her.
Yeah.
Walgreens, yeah. Ah, we know it's her birthday. We just wore her out. She can't even get out of bed right now. Yeah. That's all right. We'll celebrate with her. I'm really, Why, Brenda, are you doing closing announcements today? I really am looking forward to what we're doing with Bible characters, and as Denny and I try to approach this, because there's so much we can learn from other people, and these are real people. Let's not forget this. These are real flesh and blood people that have emotions, and they have problems, and they have conflicts, and they have victories, and they have some defeats. And listen, we can relate to them. You know, we can even, listen, Jesus can even relate to us. He became man and dwelt among us. And so that's why I love the Bible characters, because we can learn from them some things that are very, very important. Your leadership got together and we went over some of the Bible characters, had some suggestions, we made a long list. And there's some that are very, very natural to do, and there's some that we could do weeks and weeks and weeks on, because as much scripture is in the Bible about them and how prominent they were. And so during the weeks here, Denny and I will do some very prominent people, we'll do some very obscure people. We'll do males, we'll do females, we're equal opportunity teachers here. But the Bible's just full of people that we can really, really learn from. I want to talk to you today about how to live above average. Excuse me, just a second.
Didn't you tell me to do Jabez next week?
No, I didn't. Did I tell you that?
When?
Angela, is he getting this way in his old age?
Should we review?
I wasn't.
Well, that's guaranteed. For those of you keeping a notebook, you know, you always put an extra page at the end for the review, you know. Denny, you got to forgive me. I rode the Megabus last weekend. If y'all don't know what the Megabus is. Yeah, it's a new bus line that's here. It's kind of like Southwest Airlines, but it's buses. And it goes to Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, New Orleans, Baton Rouge. And Susan and I, really, we rode the Megabus. It's a double-decker. And we went to Dallas last weekend, and it's a double-decker. And if you buy your tickets way early in advance, they're $2. If you wait to the last minute, they're $25. Come on, do your math. So two of us couldn't drive to Dallas cheaper than what we rode on the Megabus. Free Wi-Fi, restrooms. It was great. We got there in 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Wow.
Kevin, where are you? Where's Kevin? There he is. Yeah, they're wowing over 3 hours and 40 minutes, Kevin. What's your record there?
I don't know what the record is, but I can tell you that I don't drive slow like you.
The mega bus driver didn't drive slow, and neither does Kevin. Now, he can get there. He can get there yesterday. That's how fast he was. But we had a great experience on it. You know, you're thinking about riding a bus. We really did have a good experience. We didn't have to put miles on our car. We didn't have to drive. We didn't have to pay for gas. It was pretty good. So that's where I went to Dallas last weekend. We got to visit with Rick and Martha Westsinger, who was one of our original ministers of music here, close friends. And so I appreciate having the opportunity to be gone. I do want to talk to you this morning about how to live above average. This is kind of a hot thing that God has put in my heart over these years. I don't know about you, but even in high school, I noticed there was a difference about some people in school. I noticed there were those even in high school that achieved pretty good. They did real good on grades. I didn't, but there were some of us that, you know, hung around about the 70 mark. You felt good about that. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Fred. Man, I was glad to get out. The teachers were glad I got out at South Houston. But it's just that there were some that seemed to achieve and some that just average. And I know there's different people, and I know we got to have all kinds to make a population, and I know that. But I noticed early that there was a difference about some people. When I went to college, it was the same thing there. There was a difference about some people. Denny, once you go to college, when I was at HBU, now you're paying for these courses. And you would think, if since you're paying for them, that you'd do your very best and get the best grades you can, especially if you're studying for the ministry in the Christianity department at HBU. But I had
somebody's paying for it.
But there were guys in my class, my Christianity classes, that said that they believed God had called them to the ministry, and they barely got by. Before God called them to ministry, I was with Delta Airlines, and they were fellow workers. You know where you work. There are people that just barely get by, and there's some people that really do a little bit more and seem to excel in everything. And I don't think this is something you're born with. I really don't. I'm being a sociologist. I don't believe it's something that you were born with. I think it's something that can be learned. But a lot of us miss that. And I guess what my fear is once you've invited the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, that's not a good program to barely get by as a believer. It's not good to get a 70% in your faith. You hear what I'm saying? That's not good enough. Not that you're having to earn some more percentage points. It's for God to be pleased with you. But folks, there's something about the Christian life that we ought to give Him our best. Whatever you do unto the glory of God and give Him your best. Why? Because He wants to use you. And He wants to use you in mighty ways. And I believe God would rather use a cleaned up peanut butter jar than a smudged up piece of china crystal. And so whatever you declare yourself, a piece of crystal or a peanut butter jar, He wants a clean vessel. Holy is acceptable unto Him. He wants to use you. He's preparing to use you. He has a plan for your life, and He wants to use you. Even in the mundane things of life, He wants to use us. And so we really need to give it above our best. But I really believe that Christians today, that a lot of us are not living above the average. I love this quote. I've told it to you many, many times. I'll tell it to you many, many more times. I love this quote by Vance Havner. This is one of the greatest quotes here. It's, so many Christians are so subnormal, if they ever got normal, they would look abnormal to the world. I love that. I love that. Why? Because now, because of our mission statement, be living proof of a loving God to a watching world. Now, because the Bible says we're ambassadors for Christ, we're His representatives, we're representing Him in a lost and dying world. That if this is true, if Brother Vance is true here, that if so many of us are so subnormal, if we ever got normal, we'd look weird to the world. Now, I'm just telling you, that's how maybe kind of bad, maybe even as Christians, we just barely get by, even with what we're displaying in our Christian life. You know, the Christian life has some disciplines. It's just like exercise. I know how it is with exercise. I know how it is with diets. But if you're not careful, the same principle operates in your Christian life. That this is something you have to work at. You have to. For those of you that are trying to win the battle of the blankets, that's called how to have a devotional time in the morning. You got to get out of bed. You know, you just can't laugh at the joke. Well, I call my bed the quiet time, so I'm in the quiet time in the morning, still in bed. You got to get up. You got to get up and early in the morning, before you even set out on your day. God's really instructed us that while it's yet morning, that we ought to spend some time with Him before we go out into the world. Why? Because when you go out in the world, ladies and gentlemen, you're in a spiritual warfare. We're in a battle. You know, you can poo-poo that all you want to, but when you walk out the door, there's not too many people outside of your house that care whether you make it or not. And so we're in a spiritual warfare. You've got to do your spiritual exercises. This is something that you do. You don't do it to earn it. You do it for spiritual fitness and everything. And so I love what Vance says here. I love this. I believe this with all of my heart. When I was working with teenagers, I saw it every day. I see it every day with adults. We're just older teenagers. We haven't changed much, but there are some major influences in your life and my life, and these influences can influence you in a positive way or a negative way. But these are the six major things that have a tendency to influence you, to cause you to respond a certain way to life. And so it doesn't matter if it's teenager or adults. Number one is self. There's some in this room. I know myself. I struggle with this. Some of you have struggled ever since you were young. That this the whole deal called self-image. A healthy self-image, you need to have that. Sometimes you think more highly of yourself than you should. Now, that's taken to the extreme there, so that's the negative part. But depending on how you feel about yourself will determine really how you function. As a man, a woman, a husband, a wife, or a mother, a father, as an employer, employee, self is very, very powerful. You know, self can convince you of something that's not true. You can convince yourself that something's not true. In fact, if you believe it, you got to decide whether you're going to believe this world about who you are or believe God about who you are. God says you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy person, you're the righteousness of God. We laugh at this, but every one of us in here are saints that know the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are so false humility. I said false humility. We'll talk about this in a minute. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. Well, I understand that, but you're a forgiven sinner. And when God looks at you, He doesn't see your sin. He sees His righteousness all over you. Just when the father looked at the prodigal son coming home and He put that robe of righteousness around him, He didn't see his grunny, smelly, piggy clothes. He saw His robe of righteousness.
Yeah.
And that boy wanted to go sleep in the bunkhouse. No, no, no. You're a son. You're a son of the Father. So I'm just telling you, this battle with self will distract you. It will derail you. And it's going to cause you hard to live above average. You're going to stay because self has convinced you that you are what you are. And you can't change. I know the Bible says we're peculiar people. And I know you think I'm mega peculiar. I know that. But the Bible says we're peculiar people. We're royal priesthood. We're worthy to be called His children because of what He's done on the cross for us. And He wants to use us. He wants us to be a fit vessel. Another major influence in our life is family. Some probably in here, I'm just guessing on this because this is a large group of people. But statistics will back me up on this. There's some of you in here, you're real struggling because of your past, your family you grew up in. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't with Ward and June Cleaver at your house. There's been a lot of hurt. There's been a lot of divorce. There's been a lot of, more than divorce, there's been a lot of hurt. It just seems like this last week I dealt with a couple of families that where it looks like death is coming to somebody in the family, and these family members can't get together on it. We sit in the hospital room. Rex and I sit. We go in there. We got families around the bed, and they're fussing and fighting. And then the person very, very sick is laying in the bed. They're fussing and fighting. They call that dysfunction in the clinical sense. But some of us are trying to overcome some things in our past. And one of those things in our past is family. If you're not careful, you've believed some of those family members about yourself. And so family has a big, big influence on you. Big influence on you. Number three is friends. I understand about peer pressure. You know, hey, peer pressure is just not for teenagers. Peer pressure is for us too. We're influenced by our friends. Birds of a feather flock together. Probably your friends are a whole lot like you. Because you choose to be with them. Why? Because they're a lot like you. They believe the same thing. They think the same thing. They smell the same way. We kind of do that. But I'm telling you, friends can influence you. Friends can make you change your mind. If you want to put it up to a vote of what your friends think you ought to do, then they're going to determine what you're going to do. Friends, peer pressure. Remember in high school that you had to wear the same thing everybody else was wearing. And you had to buy it at the store. I remember this is a fad. It's all fad. You remember when Swatches came out years ago? Y'all know what Swatch is? Yeah, it was a watch. It was a cheap watch with plastic. Well, wasn't that neat? We go from metal to plastic. Plastic watches, they were colorful. You kind of hit the market. That's when color came on the scene. And they were cheap watches, supposed to be from Switzerland, Swatches. And you had to have a Swatch. You know, everybody's looking at everybody's wrist. There's that Swatch. And then all of a sudden, like it always happens, reasonable facsimiles come out. And it's peer pressure is so bad, you couldn't buy a reasonable facsimile. Because somebody would see your fake swatch. Oh, that's not a swatch. You got that at Walmart, didn't you? We're pressured by friends. Number four, education. Your education will influence you. It will influence you. Especially when you go to college. There's some professors that want you to think like they think. If you know what I'm talking about. That education, education's good, isn't it, Denny?
Sometimes.
Education is good. I love my whooper here with his amens. Education is very powerful in your life. See, if you believed everything you were taught, see, God gives you the ability to discern some things, and you just got to be so careful. You don't believe everything you read and everything you were taught, but this is why it's so important as a believer. Your education had a big influence on you. Number five is media. Media is very, very strong today. One of the strongest influences in anybody's life. Joseph, one of the strongest influences in your life is media. What you see on TVs and the movies and things. Media, the newspaper, it's almost like we look to them for our moral standards, ethics, and values. Ooh, that's dangerous, isn't it? Media is very powerful, though. Now, depending on how strong these five are in your life will depend on how number six is strong in your life, and that's God. You see, even with some believers, God can be teeny-weeny in your life. Do you know that? Because these other five are screaming at you about who you are and your value. And so all of a sudden these major influencers are screaming at you. It's very difficult to live above the norm. These are my observations that I've watched in dealing with students and adults. These are three observations why I think it's very evident that a lot of people are living below the norm. Number one, my opinion, most people today are negative and critical. Most people today, not in this room, most people out there in the world are negative and critical and down in the mouth about something. They're negative and critical. And if you're rubbing shoulders and rubbing elbows with these people, it begins to influence you. Negative and critical. Everywhere you turn around and look. Second thing, my observation, is most people are barely getting by in life. They're doing a 70% in life. You see that? It's that 20-80% principle, but they're getting by in life 70%. Now, a lot of people that are just getting by in life are really not getting by in life at 70% because a lot of them don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you get by in life 100%. Now, you may live below your privilege. That's what Vance Havner's talking about. You know, you can be a believer and you're going to go to heaven. Well, you won the prize. But you live below your privilege. You didn't get everything that God wanted you to get this side of heaven. So you're waiting until you go to glory to get everything. But most people are barely getting by in life. And then thirdly, here's the kicker. Most people are satisfied with just getting by in life. Most people are satisfied outside of this room, because we're elite. Most people outside of this room are satisfied with just getting by in life. Now, this is just my observation, okay? As Dean and I come and teach, we give observations. This is what I've noticed, that you get somebody that God's got a hold of, as Vance Havner says, they look kind of weird at some people. But people just barely getting by in life. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at a guy, a character. His name is Jabez. 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. If you've ever ventured and walked around in 1 Chronicles, especially the first nine chapters of 1 Chronicles, it caused you to want to... Well, let me just explain 1 Chronicles to you. Our church about 30 years ago, 35 years ago, 224-40, whatever it took, I can't remember. I'm getting old. We were going to do an all-night reading of the Bible, 24 hours. Some of y'all remember that? We were in the Hughes Road Auditorium. I call it that now to give you a reference point. We were there, and we had the big giant family Bible, poof, up over there on the podium, and that was going to be the official Bible, and you signed up to read the Bible, and we were going to read the Bible through, and the whole, you know, whoever's there. Well, being the staff members we are, Brother John assigns us the times. Okay, I had 3 a.m. I'm awake anyway, you know. 3 a.m. And so you don't know what you're going to get when you get up there. So the staff's trying to calculate what they're going to get and how long did, you know. It's just like at graduation college, you're counting how many people are graduating in your how long did it take for 10 to walk across and divide that by how many people are graduating. Oh, okay, that's going to take us 2 hours to sit here. You know. Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. What is going to be my text when I got up there? I got up there at 3 a.m. and it's First Chronicles. People were begatting and 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 begatting. I was worn out begatting. And I'm thinking, I'll defer to my scholar over here, there's got to be a reason for all these being in the Bible. And 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. You see, somebody said there's really little difference between people. But that little difference makes a great deal of difference. You see, this character we're going to look at today, Jabez, he doesn't stand astride the Old Testament like Moses. You know, I think about the Old Testament, Moses, holy Moses, Moses. He just strides it. Or David. Or light up the book of Acts like the early Christians did, and you got Paul and you got Simon Peter. But one thing for sure, the little difference in his life made all the difference. And I'm giving you an obscure person today. As we launch out on this study of Bible characters, we're going to give you some bigger than life people, Denny and I will. But this is an obscure character. You could think of him as you look at your Bible there, First Chronicles. You could think of him as the prodigy of the genealogy, because this is genealogy that's listed down here. Maybe he's the Bible's little big man. You will find Jabez hiding in the least read section of one of the least read books of the Bible. The first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles are taken up with the official family tree of the Hebrew tribes, beginning with Adam and proceeding through thousands of years to Israel's return to captivity. Listen to me. I know boring. Okay? Talk about boring. On the surface, this long list of unfamiliar and difficult names, I vouch for that, more than 500 of them. Man, I would hate to be the principal of this high school that had to call off the names of graduation. That's when I let the homeroom teachers call them off. Unfamiliar and difficult names, more than 500 of them, are likely to make even the bravest Bible student turn back. And then we get to chapter 4. And you get to chapter 4 here, and the descendants of Judah, Perez and Hezron and Carmi and Hur and Shobal, and that's just the beginning. You go on and on, and you got Armah and Ishma and Idbash and... And standing out in this crowd of people in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10, it tells us about a man named Jabez. Over 600 names. Right in the middle of all of these names, God singles out one man for special recognition. He pauses the list of names, ladies and gentlemen. Don't overlook this. He pauses the list of names for verses 9 and 10, and his name is Jabez. Only 2 verses in the entire Bible on this man. 2 verses. And yet he was given honorable mention above 600 other people. what did he do that caused his name to be preserved for 4,000 years? The Bible says in verses 9 through 10, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Verse 10, Jabez cried out unto the God of Israel, quote, Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And look at the next words. And God granted his request. Jabez prayed to God, I want you to bless me and I want you to enlarge my territory, but let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I'll be free from this pain. And God granted his request. There are three secrets to this man's life. And these are three principles that can make your life above average too. Three secrets to Jabez's life. Number one is Jabez had great ambition. While all of his friends were content with being average and mediocre, Jabez says, I want God to bless me. I want God to bless me. I want something big, he said. I want to do something significant with my life. You know, what you are is God's gift to you. What you make of yourself is your gift back to God. And your life is just like receiving money. You get to spend it. You have time. You get to spend it. And if you waste that time, you've wasted a lot of things, and it's like money. He didn't want to be common. He wanted to expand. He wanted to enlarge where he was, and he wanted to grow. And he said, God bless me and enlarge my land. See, Jabez had great ambition. And most deeply, all that he wanted was God's blessing on his life. Many people today are just drifting through life. And when I say many people, I have to include us as believers. Many of us believers are just drifting through life. We have our fire insurance. We have our life insurance. You know, I joked, my father's very wealthy. He owns a cattle on 1,000 Hills. He's in the life insurance business and fire insurance business. You know, his insurance men can make a lot of money, Fred. I know. But our father, he's in the insurance business and life, and he has the fire insurance and life insurance for it. And Jabez did not want to be common. He didn't want to drift just through life. Some people have no goals. They have no master plans. They have no overall purposes and no ambition. As a result, a lot of people today don't accomplish a whole lot. They simply exist. There are three common misconceptions that keep us from having great ambitions. Number one is the misconception that hinders us. Or number one, we confuse humility with fear. We say, oh, I can never do that. And we think that we're being humble. But it's not true humility. Like I said earlier, it's false humility. Oh, I don't deserve that, or I can't do that. I wouldn't try that. And what we do is we're staying in our comfort zone. We never get out of our comfort zones to try things. I know different personalities. I'm a risk taker. I know. I'll go out there and try it. You look like an idiot, or you get hurt or something. But I'm going to try. Listen to me. Stop. We really get on Peter's case out there in the boat, didn't we? About him walking on the water. You know, embarrassed the other disciples are in the boat. They probably yelled, hey, look who's out there, it's Jesus. And Peter, I'm going out there after him, you know. And they're going, oh, Peter, get back in the boat, get back in the boat. Like he was going to embarrass him in front of Jesus. Listen to me, folks, about Peter. I love Peter. I don't know why, Denny. Okay. At least he got out of the boat. He got out of the boat. The rest of the guys are holding on to the boat. Peter, you're rocking the boat, man. Sit down. At least he got out of the boat. You know, this false humility, this sometimes that's fear that keeps us from trying things and doing things. I could never do that. You know, you talk to some people sometimes about scripture memory. I hear people, oh, I can't do that.
That's good for those Awana kids. Now, you've been to with Awanas? You've been around those kids? And I got a 9-year-old granddaughter and a 3-year-old granddaughter. I mean, I can't believe what they memorize. They memorize chunks of Scripture. Chunks of Scripture. And we as adults, because we've been doing this for so many years of nothingness or getting by, see, we've settled into that. I couldn't do that. I'm too old to memorize. Well, you memorize your phone number. We don't memorize phone numbers anymore. We just push a button. We push a name. We know when our birthday is. We memorize. Listen, we can memorize. Oh, I can never do that. That's false humility. Second, here's what we do. We tend to confuse contentment with laziness. And it was true that Paul said, I've learned to be content in what all the circumstances are. I love that verse in Philippians 4:11. I learned to be content. A lot of people get in trouble. Believers get in trouble because they're not content. They're not content. They're wanting more, looking more. They're looking over that fence. And be content where you are. I understand that principle. I'm very content in where I am. But when it means me not having any goals, I shouldn't set any goals. Paul was not saying, I've learned not to set any goals and I don't have any ambitions for my future. I do. And so all of a sudden we confuse contentment with laziness. He said, even though my goals may not be reached, I've learned to enjoy today to the fullest. I'm happy today even though I have dreams and ambitions that haven't been fulfilled yet. See, those can coexist. You can be content and still have dreams and ambitions. And Jabez did that. The third thing is we confuse small thinking with spirituality. In my days here at Sagemont, I've had people who say that I serve God in my own little way. And I want to say, because this is just me, why don't you start serving Him in a bigger way? Why don't you start serving Him in a bigger way? Why don't you let God use you more? Those of you in this room that have ventured out and got out of your comfort zone and gone on a mission trip where you had to leave your comfort of your dwelling and leave the comfort of your bed and leave the comfort of what we're used to. Folks, we're so locked into what we're used to. And you go somewhere on a mission field, some of you could get up here and give testimony of that. And as you came back from that mission trip, listen, God blessed you more than He did those people. And He used you more than you've ever been used. And all of a sudden, you're never the same because you ventured out a little bit. And so don't confuse small thinking with spirituality. A lot of people I've heard say, well, this is the way God made me. Well, no, don't blame God for your living below normal here. Don't confuse small thinking with spirituality. Don't blame God for your lack of spiritual growth. We all should be growing. We should all be getting stronger. Why? Let's go back to it. We are living proof of a loving God to a watching world. We're God's representatives. And so we've got to be ready to prove to this lost world what salvation is all about. So you got to be your best at it. You just can't be average. You can't be average representative. You can't be average living proof. The second principle for living above average, as you'll see with Jabez, is Jabez had a growing faith. He had a growing faith. Not only did Jabez have this great ambition that he wanted God to bless him, and he had this great ambition he wanted Him to bless him, but he also had a growing faith. He had a real deep trust and belief in God. He had enough faith to pray expecting the answer. That's what we're getting out of these two verses. He had enough faith to pray this bold prayer that we're fixing to look at. Nowhere does it say in here that Jabez had any type of special talent or gift. He wasn't this super person out there that was born a lot of talents and gifts. Did God use him? The Bible, of course, it doesn't tell us, but the Bible doesn't say that he was wealthy or educated, highly educated. The Bible doesn't say that he was anything more than a common man with an uncommon faith. Don't worry about what you don't have if you've got the faith. If you do have faith, God will give you all the necessary power that you need. All through the Bible, we're going to be looking at characters, as Denny and I bring them up to, that are very ordinary people who believed in God and who were willing to trust Him, and God used him. Let's go ahead and get this joke out of the way. He even used a donkey. Do you know the donkey's name, Denny? That's the one you're going to teach on next week. It's speaking to the donkey. Okay, God will use common people. He uses us. Jabez's faith caused him to believe that God would help him with his goals and dreams. He had this faith. He had this growing faith. Another thing here is that Jabez apparently had some type of handicap or disability. We don't know what this is. In the Hebrew language, Jabez means painful. It means painful. Now, how would you... It was bad enough that I got old enough to find out what my name was. What they called me. Emery Gad. Folks, you don't get to choose your names. Do you understand this? Now, if you got some cutesy name, you can go kiss your mother on the lips for it. Unless you spelled it weird. Which is what they're doing today, aren't they?
Yeah.
Grandparents? All I ask out of my first granddaughter, all I ask, who am I? I just ask that whatever you name this little girl, two things. Don't spell it goofy, and don't let it rhyme with something dirty for a third grade boy.
Yeah.
That's all I ask. Well, I got one out of two. They named her Caitlin, and they spell it goofy. She'll have to spell it the rest of her life and everything. How would you like to be named painful? I was named Emery Gad. And everybody joked, well, that's what your dad said when you were born, Egad. You know, let's take it. Well, let's take him home, Virginia. Come on. How's that? Egad. Jabez was named Painful. How would you like to be called Painful? Hey, here comes Painful. Hey, there's a little Painful over there. Wow. Jabez caused his mother so much grief when he was born that she named him Painful. I'm guessing he may have been unwanted. He may have been unloved. His name constantly reminded him that even his birth caused grief in somebody else's life. But Jabez was stronger than his handicap. He was an overcomer. His faith kept him going. Oh, I love being around overcomers. I love stories of overcomers. No matter what your family life was like. No matter what your disability was. No matter what your handicap is. But you're an overcomer. Maybe you got a handicap. Is it physical? Is it spiritual? Did you have an unhappy childhood? Is it a frustrating job? Whatever it may be, God says, Mark 9:23, everything is possible for him who believes. Jabez was a man of growing faith. The third secret to Jabez's life was that he had a prayer life. You see, the thing that does the most good, we have a tendency to do the least of. And that's pray. Yeah, I mean, Denny and I could spend weeks and weeks and weeks. We could have a prayer conference here. We could do it. But we just mention it here because this is very important. The third secret to Jabez's life was his prayer life. It's just a simple little prayer. A prayer request that got him honorable mention in the Bible among 600 names. And we're still talking about him today, thousands of years later. Maybe your false humility causes you to hesitate to ask for things in prayer. Maybe you feel like that your prayer requests are selfish. What type of prayer does God answer? The life of Jabez illustrates three things we can ask God for and expect Him to answer. Three things for you. This will be common for you. The first thing that Jabez prayed for was God's power in his life. He asked for a power. It's right there in verse number 10. He asked for a power. Very simply, he says that Jabez cried out to the Lord God of Israel and says, "Oh, would you bless me? Would you bless me and enlarge my territory?" He asked for a power greater than his own to accomplish the dream. Jabez couldn't accomplish this on his own. He prayed, "I want you to bless me. I want your power in my life." Ladies and gentlemen, all of us today, I don't know how long you've been a Christian, but daily we need to be asking, "God, would you give me the power I need to get through today?" Because you don't have the power to get through today. You don't have it. I mean, I'm so messed up. I mean, I wake up at 3:30 in the morning, can't go back to sleep. Folks, that's messed up. I can't change that. But God's got to give me the power to sleep, or whatever it is you're dealing with. You've got to ask God to do it. Listen, God can take care of some things. There's some things you can't take care of. There's some things you're responsible for, you better do. But there's some things only God can do, and you can't do what God can do. But you can do what you can do. But you need to ask God to bless you and give you the power. To give you the power. Power. "God, is this what you want me to do? I want you to enlarge my coast. I want you to expand my territory. I want you to increase my responsibility." See, with increased territory is increased responsibility. God's going to give you the power to be responsible for your life. I don't know what it was like when you first became a parent. I never went to parent school. There wasn't any parent school. I mean, we have seminars now. We need God's power to parent properly. God's going to give you the power to be a good employee where you are. In fact, let me just tell you, you ought to be the best employee at your company. Christians ought to be the best employees in their company. If you're being living proof of a loving God to a watching world, if you're living above the normal, you ought to be the best employee. Greater power. You see, whether ambition is good or bad, one thing is the motive behind it. Jabez's motives were very, very honorable. You see, God dares you to beg for big requests. "God, give me some power and enlarge my territory." Jeremiah 4:2 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." Jeremiah 33:3. Ask God for power. There's something real key about this prayer we'll see in just a moment. But Jabez also, the second thing Jabez prayed for in verse 10 was for God's presence in his life. Look, he said, "Let your hand be with me." You see, Jabez realized if he got more territory, if he got more responsibility, that means that there's going to be greater demands, and you're really going to need God's help. You're going to need God's hand on this deal. Now, so you can't be juvenile to saying, "I don't want my parents around, I don't want God around." You can't be juvenile. You've got to plead in your prayer that you want God's power and you want His presence. You want Him touching you. You want Him following you 24, He is following you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God is with you. Sometimes we don't realize that in where we go and what we do and what we say, but it's true. God's with us. But you want Him to be with you. You want God's presence in your life. Let your hand be on me. And when you ask for God's presence in your life, you better be sure that He's going to answer that. The third thing that Jabez prayed for in this prayer is for God's protection over his life. Look here. "Keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain." He asked God for His protection. Why did Jabez do that? Because in those days, the more you had, those territories increase, the more influence you had, and the better known you were. And it's true today. The more successful you are, the more critics that you have. Yeah, you think people ought to write a book about you, but they don't. They throw rocks sometimes, and they're critical. And you'll have enemies attack you. The more your territories increase and God is blessing you more, and the more you're living above the normal. See, when you get past that 70% mark, and the stronger you become as a Christian, the more devil wants to harass you. Why would the devil fool around with somebody who's getting 70% in the Christian life? Why would the devil? If I was the devil, and I'm not. If I was the devil, when you review next week, Denny. Hey, I sent her on the mega bus, Denny. Come on, nothing but the best for my sweetheart. Listen, the devil wants to attack those of you that are living above the normal. He wants to attack those of you that are trying your best to have an influence in the kingdom of God. He wants you to not succeed. He doesn't want you to succeed. He wants you to fail. And so what happens here is the devil doesn't want you to have protection over your life, but God's going to protect you. You need God's protection. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of darkness. And you can't go out there and do battle with this world by yourself, out there buck naked. You need God's power, you need God's presence, and so He can do His protection on your life, so you can be everything God wants you to be. And you may think that you're not valued as a person, you may think you're insignificant, but Jabez, in the middle of 600 names, had two verses said about him. God didn't pause for anybody else in this genealogy, but this man right here, Mr. Painful, as he cried out to God this prayer. Now, let me say, I do not believe there's anything magical about these words, but I believe there's something very significant about your heart of you crying out even daily to Him this prayer. God bless me today. And I pray that you will be with me in all that I do or say, the decisions I make. And I ask for your protection over me today. Protect me from the evil one. Listen to me. Stay with me. I'm coming in for a landing. Even protect me from myself. Ladies and gentlemen, we as believers can self-destruct. When you lean to your own understanding and you don't acknowledge Him who's going to direct your paths, when you lean to your own understanding, you can self-destruct. What was the secret? What was the secret to this enduring reputation of Jabez? You can search from the front to the back of your Bible, and you won't find any more information than we have in these two verses. It's pretty significant. Things started out badly for a person that no one ever heard of, Mr. Painful. He prayed an unusual one-sentence prayer, and things ended extraordinarily well. Oh, that you would bless me, and you would enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil. God's power, God's presence, and God's protection. And at first glance, these three requests may strike you as sincere, sensible, and even noble, but not terribly remarkable. And you may just read right over these when you're doing your quiet time in First Chronicles, reading the baguettes. Yet, just under the surface of this lies a great paradigm breaker that runs opposite of the way you and I usually think. Isn't that what God does? He goes opposite of our natural inclination. He wants to do something in your life. Don't waste your life. Every day, you've given breath. You've been empowered to make a difference in people's lives in this kingdom. Jabez, Mr. Painful, learned how to live above the average. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and I thank you for this insignificant two verses, what appears to be in the middle of this genealogy that had us spellbound. Father, I pray that you will use us. May we lean on you and depend on you for the power we need to go through some things that we're facing. There's some people in this room that are facing some incredible things. May you give us the power to go through it and represent you. May we acknowledge your presence in our life and everything that happens. And may we call upon your protection over us so we don't self-destruct. May we be living proof of a loving God to a watching world. Amen.
All right.